your strength and your fasting, continually cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The next thing that's coming is it's a spiritual journey in Grow Track. So your next step, we're all about next steps here at our church, and next step is Grow Track 3. I don't know how many of you planned on coming to Grow Track 3, but it is a next step as far as many different things. You will learn more about fasting. You're going to learn more about the Word of God and how to get into the Word of God even on a deeper level, okay? If I learned one thing even more this semester as the leader, but also just kind of as a student in it again, is that it teaches you to live dead, okay? And what I mean by living dead is every day you just die to yourself. And that's pretty cool when you start dying to yourself and just letting the Lord take it every day. No matter what you go through, what struggle you face, we know that He's there for us. And you're going to learn in Grow Track 3 that there's a lot more, a lot deeper type of walk with God, even than what you've had in Grow 2. Grow 2 is pretty intense. Grow 1 is just fun. You know, it's fun. Grow 2 is pretty intense. Grow 3 gets real intense. So if you are going to come, get ready to buckle up and ready to go, because you're going to learn a lot. And it's a lot more reflective studying, things like that, but it'll be well worth your time. So I encourage you to come. I went through it last semester, okay, and I was going through a lot of things. I probably didn't do the smartest thing. I did Grow 3 and Encounter at the same time and had cancer at the same time. I found out that I had prostate cancer early on in the class, and I had to have surgery, and I mean, I made it. I missed only two classes for the whole thing, which was amazing, but it was, you know, quite a time. But God was with me, and I really believe He put me in both of those classes at the same time, because the 14 days of sitting there in your chair when you have a catheter in was the most close time to the Lord that I think I've had in a long time, because I couldn't do anything. And if you know me, I'm not one that sits still. I just don't. It's very difficult for me to sit still. That's my biggest challenge in my walk with God, is to quiet myself in the morning and just be quiet, okay, and let Him speak to me, because I want to do something. You know, I don't even like to have my phone near me, because I have a tendency to want to start looking at things, you know, someone will email or whatever. So, but God met me in a neat way, and that was something that I believe Grow Track 3 prepared me for, was to be able to walk in a closer walk with Him and just to listen. So I encourage you to come. If you're planning, we'll love to have you. If you're not, there's always another semester, but we hope you all will go on into Grow Track 3 from here. Well, next thing that we've got is the Grow Track celebration. You only have two more weeks of class left. Then the week after that, we're going to have a celebration, and it's going to be a potluck, I believe is how we do it. Everybody signs up to bring food. It's just a celebration that you graduated, you're moving on to the next step, and we encourage you all to come to that and bring lots of food, okay? I know Justin will bring lots of food because he cooks all the time. So, yeah. So, anything. I appreciate you guys. You know, one of the blessings that I've had in my life is to be able to know Justin and Whitney. I can never get your names right. I always call you Lindsay, and it's supposed to be the opposite of way around, but she answers either way. But I imagine you guys have had a great class, because he is a wonderful teacher and a wonderful man of God. But I encourage you to enjoy this class, and welcome you, Justin.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'll drink your coffee, so you might want to watch it. Or I'm going to spill it. That's what usually happens. All right. You know, he said something, Mark said. He asked if any of you are going to Grow 3. I would encourage you all to go. I don't think it needs to be if my boss... I've never heard of a boss come and say, hey, do you want a raise? Or, hey, do you want a promotion? Most people won't turn down a promotion or a raise. When it comes to finances, when it comes to our job, why would we turn down a promotion in the kingdom? And that's what we're doing. We're taking next steps to grow closer to Christ, and every step that we take that grows us closer to Christ, in my books, a promotion. It's we're promoting the kingdom. Any chance we get to promote to the lost and... y'all don't mess with air too much now. There's some of us big boys in here get hot. Borrow Daniel's jacket. Daniel, little brother Jack. That's true. But I've seen all three. I've been part of all three. grows, and it just goes to another level. And if you truly, truly, truly are here because you want to know Christ more, you want to experience more about who you are in Christ, and really want to know what God's calling you to do, take that next step and go to Growth 3. It's powerful just the way this thing's been designed, this process that, you know, I've seen some of the students that have come out of Growth 3. Jeremy Charbo, he's come out of Growth 3, and I'm telling you, he's a very good friend of mine. I watch him start and grow one, and it's transformed your life, hasn't it? I watch his life transform before my eyes through this process. So I really encourage y'all to take that next step. So this week's a little different than, you know, I'm not going to get to yammer a whole bunch tonight, which is kind of tough for me. Tonight's more about y'all's work, but we're talking about serving again. We're talking about next steps. Tonight we're talking about trust and obedience and taking that next step into fulfilling the potential that God's called on our life. And we talked about this already, and I've said this every week, and I'll say this until this thing's over with, and I'll say it to you as long as I see in the church, is I don't see nothing but potential leaders in this room. That's what's in here, is we have a room full of potential leaders, potential teachers, potential coaches, and whatever it may be. And the kingdom needs that, but more than the kingdom needs it, we need it. We need to serve more than God needs us to serve. We need to serve more than the church needs us to serve. God's going to get his agenda taken care of. But what it does in our hearts and what it does in our lives is extremely powerful. But how do you take next steps if you don't know what your next steps are? How do you take next steps and what your calling is? And so the first part of this lesson is we're going to go back to the homework. Did anybody do the spiritual assessment homework, or everybody too worried about the Astros losing? I mean, maybe winning, probably not. Huh? Y'all's did? Oh, we got 2 out of 60. That's good odds. Do what? You wasn't here. You wasn't here, Whitney. So that's the reason why it's been tough for you to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the next 15 or 20 minutes. We're going to do some group work. All right. And in this group work, the table host is going to ask you some questions. And these questions are intended to help you realize what your calling is, what your potential is. And it's going to ask you some questions that is going to get your brains rolling. So let's take the next 15 or 20 minutes. Table host know what to do. Let's go through this group work, and then we'll come back to the teaching. All right. Y'all got it all figured out? We have any questions before we lose Bonnie? Hey, does anybody have any questions before we lose Bonnie and move on? We got it all. Bonnie, you got everything you need? Hey, guys, when y'all are doing these tests and you have a question about one of the giftings, if you don't quite understand it, stop and ask somebody. Make sure that you understand what it's calling you, what that gifting means, okay? And if you have any questions, you can ask me afterwards or whatever, but we'll clarify. I just want to make sure that everybody understands what their gifting is based off it. And this thing's very accurate. It's crazy. It's extremely accurate. So let me have that. Thank you, Mike. All right. I got fired up over here telling Tina and them a story. Yeah. And I know I can share this. So he was asking, one of his giftings was miracle. And he's asking kind of what miracle is. And miracle can be a prophetic word. You can, you know, pray miracles over. And I told him, and my wife can back this up, I told him about the story of Mikey's daughter. One of the most rarest cases ever. What was it, her lung? Huh? Yeah. And anyway, here's how powerful God is. And I want to tell y'all this because I want you to understand that God uses, and I'm fixing to show you where God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And a man from Florida got a word from God to get on an airplane and fly to East Texas and drive to Crockett, Texas, and ask for a guy named Mikey Osborne. He's a very good friend of mine. found Mikey Osborne. He was a little graphics designer guy that had started a church camp, and his daughter had one of the most rarest diseases. Have you ever seen the picture with the baby holding the doctor's finger? It's very well known anyway. She had that disease. It's almost incurable. One out of, I can't remember how many, hundreds of thousands, whatever the odds are of living. This guy walked into Mikey Osborne's office, and he told him, he said, your daughter's going to live. And Mikey almost fought him over it. He said, don't you play with me. He thought it was a prank. The guy says, you don't know me. He says, I'm from Florida. And he said, God told me to get on an airplane and drive down here and tell you that your daughter's going to live. Mikey has everybody in the world praying for his daughter because she's not going to make it. So whatever part that she was missing, I think it was her lung. There's an x-ray of her missing that lung. After that meeting with that guy, they went back to the doctor, and he stuck that same x-ray up there, and there's a new lung in that baby. She is alive and well and vibrant, one of the most beautiful, outgoing kids you'll ever meet in your life. God, and that doctor said, he said, it's impossible. Mike said, no. That's one story of a miracle that's happened in his life that's impacted other people. And he used a simple messenger to come tell Mikey that. I say that to say this, is that if you're sitting in here tonight and you think that you're too insignificant to be used to make massive impacts for the kingdom, that's a lie from the enemy. Because you were created in God's image. You were created in the image of his son. And in the image of his son is powerful. The image of his son has purpose, and so do you. So don't ever believe that you don't have a gifting in your life because God has designed you to do something. So we have 2 weeks that we teach on these next steps. There's a reason why we teach on it for 2 weeks, is because it's that important. Next steps change my life. Next steps change my marriage. Next steps have changed my kids, and it'll change the trajectory of my life for eternity. Next steps are a big deal. But I'm fixing to show you how God uses the most unlikely suspects to do his work. We're the most unlikely suspects to do God's work. I know I am. I've told y'all that multiple times. But I watch God use the most unlikely suspects day in and day out to be the hands and feet. And it only takes one thing. Trust and obedience. It takes one thing. Surrender. Just I'm going to surrender you. I'm going to trust and obey you. I'm going to follow you. And I'm fixing to show you two completely different characters, stories in the Bible that had the same calling, and you'll see the impact. So let's look. Let's look at this scripture in Matthew. This got me excited when I was studying this. So look at Matthew 4, 8, and 22, and let's unpack this real quick. And it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. He said, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus called them to leave their job, their family, their comfort zone, what they knew, to follow him. And it doesn't say that they pondered. It doesn't say that they said, all right, let me finish what I'm doing and I'll catch up with you later. It says, at once they left their nets and followed him. At once. When Jesus calls us, he doesn't call us to linger. He doesn't call us to say, hang on, let me get my affairs in order. Hang on, let me deal with this over here. Hang on, let me. He doesn't do that. He says, let's go. And the reason why he does that is because if it's ever on our own ability, our own accord, we're not doing what Jesus has called us to do. I truly believe this. If you're not operating in a realm to where you have to have Jesus to succeed, and if you have to rely just on your own self, or you'll fail, then you're not operating in the right realm. I know that if I don't have Jesus Christ in my calling, I will mess this up royally. I've already seen myself do it. it'd be like me playing tennis, remember? Remember the tennis story? Okay. So, do what? Now, I hope you didn't. It's spiritual. There's a spiritual element to the tennis story, I promise. But what I'm saying is that he found two people in their element of being a fisherman. All right? He found me in my element because I love to yammer and I love people. I love people. All kinds of kinds. I love people, crazy, uncrazy. There's no such uncrazy as people. People are crazy and I love it. I love all colors, all sizes, all shapes, all backgrounds. It doesn't matter. I love people. I love people. And like I said, I love to talk. And so he used this thing that he put inside of me that I used for Justin for so long that got me in so many bad situations. And he said, hey, son. He said, drop your nets. Let's go catch some men. Because you're casting your nets to the wrong thing. That's what he did with these fishermen. Now look in Matthew 9 and 9. He went and got somebody completely different. He says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. He said, follow me. Follow me. He told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Y'all know how they perceived tax collectors back in the day, right? They hated them. They were sneaky. They were crooks. They were conniving. They would overcharge in taxes and put some money in their pocket so they could fatten their pocket. Nobody liked the tax collector. Nobody, because he was a Jew working for the Romans, and it just did not. He's like, why? You're selling yourself out. You're taking our money. Nobody. Nobody sends the IRS a Christmas card. Let's be real. Because even though you may get a little back at the end of the year, you know you paid in way more than they're giving you. Well, that's the same thing back then. Nobody liked tax collectors. But it talks all through the Gospels that Jesus ate with tax collectors. He hung out with tax collectors. Why? Huh? He can use something that's broken. He can use something that's messed up. He can use any vessel. He can remold any pot of clay because he's the clay maker. So Jesus has the ability to use the most unlikely suspects for his glory. And the reason why is so he gets the glory. Who else could go take one of the most hated people as a tax collector and use him to be a disciple, to write one of the Gospels? Only Jesus. So, who can take an old loudmouth East Texas boy that is awesome at tennis? That's awesome at tennis. I still believe that. I may make a comeback. I may have a comeback tour. That's right, honey. And use him to reach people that he never thought he'd be able to reach. Only Jesus. That's it. Well, that's what he wants to do with you. He wants to use the Johns. He wants to use the Kellys. He wants to use y'all to do that very thing. You just have to be willing to let him. And when you're willing to let God do what only God can do in your life, it's amazing to see the ability that God has put inside of you. When we take the barriers down of our own self, we take the barriers down of our own capabilities and say, all right, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you because you created me. You designed me. See, he created Matthew. He created the tax collector. He knew his ability. The world sent him as a tax collector. Jesus saw him as a disciple. The world saw him as just fishermen. Their families just saw him as fishermen. Jesus said, no. I designed you to be fishers of men. It doesn't matter what the world perceives you as. It matters what the Creator knows about you. But you have to be willing to let him unlock those secrets and unlock that potential. And you cannot unlock that potential if you're not willing to take next steps. But the more steps that you take toward Christ, the more that potential that gets unlocked. Mark my word, if you will allow God to unlock that potential and follow His will, follow His plan through trust and obedience, it will blow your mind where you'll be in 12 months. And that's for everybody in here. I promise it'll rock you when you look back and say, I cannot believe God has used me to do this. And you'll be able to look back at that journey and say, that was Jesus the whole time. That was Jesus the whole time. I promise you, Peter did. Right? Because Jesus got in the boat and challenged him. It's like, hey, throw your nets over here. You know Peter's, because I'm a fisherman. And God told me to move my trout lines. I'd be like, look, Jesus, I've been fishing this lake way longer than you have. You need to see my pictures of my big catfish? Don't you tell me where to fish. No. Don't you tell me I can't play tennis. But he got in the boat with Peter and told him to do something that was completely against the norm. Completely against what Peter knew. Completely against the odds. Completely against the normal routine of what kind of worked in Peter's life. And Peter did it one time. God almost sank his boat. There's so many fish in there. Fed his family for however long, financed him with some money, and said, all right, now let's go catch some men. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to take your nets, right? He wants you to take your nets, take your hands off of your nets, and put them in His hand. Because the only thing that we're designed truly to do here is chase and catch the loss. That's what we're here for. It's relationship with Jesus, but through that, it's for the loss. It's to spread the gospel. That's why God had the that's why Jesus had the disciples. He was training them up for the lost. He's training us up right now for the lost. And if we do not allow God to unlock that potential gifting inside of us, we're going to miss opportunities that God designed for us to reach the lost. Ladies, at this table, there's a demographic of people that y'all can reach that I'll never be able to talk to. There's people that y'all know I'll never meet. There's a group of people that are starving for Jesus Christ that you can impact that I'll never be able to impact. You know that? Seriously, same thing for this table. John, there's people in your life, buddy, that I'll never come into contact with. And if you don't tell them about Jesus, what if someone else tells them about the world? You see what I'm saying? That's why this is so important. That's why this is so important. What if somebody wouldn't have told me about this man named Jesus? Where would I be? So that's the reason I say it's so important. So, obedience. We're talking about trust and obedience. So what is obedience? Obedience is following the commands or guidance of, is to conform or to comply with. It's pretty cut and dry, so obey what Jesus says. But see, obedience is the key condition of our relationship with God. It doesn't say that sacrifice is a key condition. It says obedience is. Does obedience take sacrifice? Sure. I promise it does. There's a lot of things God calls me to do that I'm like, oh, come on, man. But I know the benefit of obedience because I've seen the product of disobedience. And if you see enough product of disobedience, you're eventually going to say, all right, God, let's try it your way. What do you want me to do? He's just going to say, obey. Trust me, obey me in my ways, pick up your nets and follow me. That's what He's going to tell you. And if you haven't seen enough destruction from your disobedience, keep being disobedient. And I promise you'll see the destruction, because when we don't have God's hand in our life, all it does is leave a gaping hole for destruction. But when we trust and obey, we get the protective hedge of Christ. We get the closeness of God. And every time we obey, we step closer in the presence of God. Well, then it eliminates, but it shrinkens that size or that opportunity for destruction in our life. And even when those tough times do come, our closeness to the Father gives us the right tools to defeat the things that are attacking us. And serving and taking next steps is one of the most key things that you can do in order to protect yourself. So, obedience and trust will ask you to do a few things. It'll ask you a few questions in your life, and you have to be willing to look at these questions and answer them honestly. So, number one, are you ready to take some risk? Obedience in Christ and trust in Christ is going to require you to take some risk because it requires faith. It requires faith to follow Jesus. Well, faith is believing something that you can't see. When you're believing something, you're believing in Jesus Christ, you're believing in His Word and in His promise, that's going to cause you to take some risk because He's going to call you to step away from some people you need to step away from. He's going to call you to draw near to some people you need to draw near to. He's going to call you to give in areas that you don't think that you can give in because your carnal mind looks and says, this doesn't make sense. My time don't allow it. My talents don't allow it. My treasures don't allow it. This is going to be a risk, God, if you're calling me to give this. And He says, I know it. It's the reason I need you to trust and obey. Number two, do you have the courage? Risk takes courage. We had a whole lesson on courage in here. Risk takes courage. Remember the illustration we did on the courage of my wife standing between me and new relationships and all these things? In the middle of our divorce and our restoration, we did that illustration up here. There was a risk on both sides. There was a risk that she could come back to me and I could be a complete raving lunatic and divorce her again. There's also the risk on the other side that her family may not ever receive me back. So it took courage to stand in the middle of both of those risks. What got her to the place of courageousness to stand in between those? Trust and obedience in Christ. Trust and obedience in Christ is what brought her back to that place that says, all right, I'm going to trust and obey you, and I'm going to have the courage to stand right here, even though I know the risk. Because the risk never outweighs the reward when it comes to Jesus. Never. Number three, I love this one because I am a big old kid. Are you ready? Amen. Tell me what you said. Are you ready to be a kid again? Because I'm going to tell you, when you begin to serve and you begin to do the things God calls you to do, it brings a youthfulness into your life. And not only does it bring a youthfulness, what it does is it brings a dependency. See, my kids depend upon me for everything. Everything. All four of my kids. The 37-year-old one I'm married to, and six, five, whatever. I stay in trouble. That's all right. Whatever. But there's a dependency of my children on me and my wife. There is a dependency in my life on Christ because I'm telling you, and I mean this seriously. If I can't depend on Jesus and He doesn't show up, I'm going to wreck this thing out. I'm going to wreck out this calling in my life because if I'm depending upon Justin, I've seen what Justin does when Justin's the leader. But when Christ is leading Justin, I've seen what it does too. And that dependency on Jesus to do what He has promised to do, that makes me feel like a kid again. It excites me to know that I get to be a 40-year-old child in the kingdom of God and do what He's called me to do. And in that childlikeness of faith, in that childlikeness of dependency, I get to rely on Him for everything. Everything. Ask my wife. Drives her crazy at times. We won't have nothing. We'll just keep on rolling, won't we? We just keep on, because I ain't dependent upon her or me to be able to do anything. I'm dependent upon God because He's my Father. I'm His child, and we just keep on rolling. We just keep on going. that right there is one of the most reassuring fun things that I get to do on a daily basis, be a kid in my father's arms. And I love that. I love it. Thank goodness he's strong, because he's getting tired of rocking me. God said, that's a big old kid. It's a big old kid that can play tennis. That's what that is. The next one. So the answer to all of these questions, is yes. Yes. Yes, I'm ready to take some risk. Are you, Grote, are you ready to take some risk?
Yes.
Two of y'all.
Yes.
All right. And the other half of y'all that stayed home to watch the Astros play, we're going to talk to y'all next week. Grote, do you have the courage to take the risk?
Yes.
This is what I love. Do you have the courage to take the risk to be a kid again? I know James does.
Oh, yeah.
I was Jared. I know Jared does. I do. I want to be a kid again. Honey says, I want to be a kid again. I know I do. And that excites me that we get to have the courage to take the risk to be a kid for the kingdom, for the Father, that never fails. That ought to get you excited. So remember this. God is with us when we hear, when we listen, when we respond, when we go, and when we obey. Now I want you to look at the order of that. Okay? Guys, men, if you will apply this in your marriage, you will go far. I have not mastered this yet. Especially that obey part. Ain't happening. I mean, we're working on it. But hey, we never have a problem of hearing. I hear all the time. I just struggle with listening. No, I hear the noise. I hear the yammering and the cackling. I don't listen to the content. I hear it. I can, I promise you, it's this. I'll be in way more trouble than this by the time we get home. You can't worry about it. I ain't worried about it. I'm not worried about it. She's used to it. Now, what's the difference between courage and stupidity? I don't know, but I think I'm flirting with that line right now. It's a great question. So spiritual. Well, maybe we need to add that section in here. So remember that when we, on our calling, He has petitioned you to call. You've heard His calling. All right? The day you were saved, the day you received salvation, you heard the calling on your life. Now, when we listen to the teachings, we listen to the sermons, we listen to the Word of God that strengthens us, that pushes us forward. When we respond, there has to be an action. All right, we can't just absorb this knowledge. Listen, we can't just drink from these wells and soak up all of this and not respond. Well, we can't do that. You have to respond. You have to use the tools that God's giving you. And then it says, when we go and when we obey. You got to respond. You got to hear to it. You got to listen to it. You got to respond to the calling. And then you got to go. But on that journey of going, that means that you're moving forward. That means that you're walking forward. There has to be obedience in it. You have to obey, because listen, on that path, He's going to call you to do this and He's going to call you to do that. But it's never going to stay the same. He's not going to call you to do the same thing over and over and over again. All right? He's going to stretch you. He's going to push you. Because if you ever got complacent to where you did the same thing over and over again, then you would just rely on self. God doesn't want you to rely on self. He wants you to rely on you. So He's always going to push you to be a little to go a little further. And I love that. So this is our next steps. We have 2 more weeks after this. 9, 10, yeah. 2 more weeks. There's too many amens about that. Now, everybody's like, thank goodness. Woo. Yeah, y'all heard and listened to that. Okay. Yeah, y'all heard that and listened. Yeah. Now, we got 2 more weeks. So our next thing is trust and obedience. What is God calling you to do next? I know that if you haven't been through Grow 3, there's no doubt in my mind that God is calling you to go through Grow 3. He's not going to call you not to take next steps. If you haven't been through Encounter, I challenge you Go through Encounter. It'll change your life. I promise. They're next steps. Anybody in here been through an encounter?
Yes.
Would anybody in here say not go through encounter?
No.
That's all. That right there will preach by itself. All right, Sam, I'll see you next semester. I'll see you next semester. So, if we just allowed you just to keep learning the Word of God and didn't push you to the next level, we would be doing you a disservice. If all we did was teach and all we did was fill these wells up and let you drink from them, but we didn't push you to respond and use a calling and go and obey that God's called you to do, we would be doing you a disservice. We don't do you a disservice. We want you to go. I want you to go. I want to go. I need to go. What's next for me? There's next steps for me. So what is your next step? There's some additional scripture at the bottom we won't go over. But this next portion is, let's wrap up with this group work, okay? We got about 15 minutes we can apply to this. So we're going to take time, and I don't know if we got completely finished with this, to discuss the rest of our assessments, okay? And then has the table host got, have we got all of our packets? Is everybody completely finished? We are finished? Oh, we may have got it all done. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, that's Shelly. Can we do that? Shelly will do that. Okay, we'll take this time. And hey, if you have any questions about your next steps, if you have any questions about your spiritual assessments, ask your table host or ask myself, and then James will wrap us up. But hey, we're going to, Shelly, show them that sheet. We're going to pass this around to all the table hosts so y'all can go ahead and get that filled out so we can get it turned into money. Hey, one more thing. I want to mention one more thing. If you went through Starting Point and like it was like 2013 and before, we encourage you to go through it again. The content's changed. I mean, our pastors have changed. Everything has changed. And hey, it is a blast, and they've got some great food in there. So if it's been a while since you've been through it, it's at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. You can jump in at any time, but I'd encourage you to go to it. It's really awesome.